to the Drive Time Show on Toledo's Sports Leader, 106.5 The Ticket.
Miguel swings it to fly ball, right field, way back and right. Garcia to the fence, looking up, and it's gone, a home run.
Wow.
Miguel Cabrera with a two-run shot to right, his 24th, his fifth home run in the last week. The Tigers hit it.
This 106.5 The Ticket Sports Exclusive is driven by the Low Payment King, Ralph Mahalik Jr. at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore.
Matthews got his throws. He's got Golden Tate, who makes the catch inside the 15, inside the 10, and he's biking away. He's into the end zone. Pack the bags. Start the plane. This game is over. Oh, baby, how big is that?
Get ready. It's now Drive Time.
Sweeping left side, 10-5. Touchdown, Curtis Samuel. And the Buckeyes win it in overtime. A game that they trailed by 10 points to give Ohio State a 30-27 victory over the University of Michigan.
Here's the host of Drive Time.
Now Gretzky's got a breakaway. He's in all alone. He shoots and scores. Curry blocked the shot. Sent Gretzky in. 3-0.
Mike Miller is out there watching.
On its way, here's Chris DeMarco to win it. He wins it. DeMarco, 15 feet, 4 inches, center of the cup, President's Cup to the United States.
All right, everybody, how are you? Another edition of Drive Time. Glad to have you on board. This is ESPN 106.5 The Ticket in Toledo. Good show lined up for you tonight. Rod Beard will join us, one of our favorites. He, of course, is the beat writer for the Detroit News, covered the Detroit Pistons this year. His second year as the Pistons beat writer. For years, covered the University of Michigan. But Rod Beard will join us tonight. He was at the Palace last night. Last game for the Detroit Pistons in the Palace before they head downtown to the Little Caesars Arena to join the Detroit Red Wings. So all four professional sports teams in Detroit, probably within about a five-block area. Comerica Park, of course, Little Caesars. The Detroit Lions, of course, playing at Ford Field, and now the Pistons and the Red Wings. Palace, last night, last game. A lot of former players. We'll talk Palace. We'll talk Pistons. Where do they go from here? It wasn't too long ago, about a year ago, that the Detroit Pistons and the Cleveland Cavaliers faced off in a best-of-seven series in the first round of the Eastern Conference in the NBA, and lo and behold, Cavaliers won it 4-0, but the Pistons were competitive, game in and game out, a lot of high expectations going into this year, did not work out. Again, Rod Beard at 5:15 tonight. 5:35, Red Berenson will join us. He is retiring as the head coach of the University of Michigan's hockey team. What a run. 33 years, two national championships, one in 96, one in 98. And you know something kind of overlooked, a tremendous, tremendous NHL career, both as a player and a coach. Had a hockey game one night in Philadelphia where he scored 6 goals and at one time was voted the best player in the Western Conference. That was right after the 6-12 team NHL expansion. But Red Berenson will join us tonight at 5:35 right here on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. We will have our TAS electronics updates, of course, sports and weather. Traffic is always brought to you by SuperFitnessToledo.com. Detroit Tiger Report brought to you by Reed Funeral Home. Like to welcome those folks back, of course, all the way through September. Been a part of Drive Time for a long time. Tigers win again today by a score of 2-1. Back-to-back 2-1 wins for the Tigers. They've won two straight through 7 games. They're 5-2. Two-run homer today by James McCann. What a start he's off to. 3 home runs for McCann now. Boyd, you know what? The biggest difference in Matt Boyd's first start, I think, was the temperature. Of course, the temperature in Chicago when he pitched last week was about 30-some degrees. Beautiful day at Comerica Park. He was outstanding today. Had a shutout going. In fact, did not allow a hit until the 6th inning today. McCann, 2-run homer. Chicago comes back, Minnesota, who, by the way, came into today's game with a record of 5-1. They're off to a tremendous start under their manager, Paul Molitor. We have an issue again in the 9th inning. K-Rod comes in, 3 consecutive hits. Tigers have to hold on to win it by a score of 2-1. I guess the positive thing, Detroit's 5-2. Bullpen has not been good. Cabrera not hitting. That's going to happen. Everybody knows that. Pencil him in at 300, probably 30 home runs and 100 RBIs, but has not done anything to this point in time. Cabrera, that series continues tomorrow at Comerica Park. That is another 1 o'clock game. Cabrera today, one hit, by the way. Castellanos had a hit as well. He's been absolutely unbelievable. V-Mart had a hit today as well. Tigers only pounded out 4 hits. Again, the story, Boyd, 6 innings pitched, 6 strikeouts, gave up 1 hit. Green came in, Ryan came in, Wilson came in. They all did pretty well. Rodriguez got his 3rd save, K-Rod. But, again, a very eventful ninth inning. Tigers were holding on to pop-outs to end the game. Detroit wins it by a score of 2-1. We are at Sylvania Tam-O-Shanter tomorrow night, both for Drive Time, driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik, and then, of course, Face Off the Hockey Show. Wall and I are going to open up later in the week. We'll be talking to the coaching staff and Matt Melzak and everybody else, previewing the Wall and I best of 7 against the Kalamazoo Wings Hockey Club. So, again, a lot of hockey around the corner. We'll be talking hockey tomorrow night. Probably do something with the Blue Jackets tomorrow night. They open their series against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and for the first time in 25 years, and for the first time in 19 years of Face Off the Hockey Show, you know what? We will not be doing Detroit Red Wing playoff previews. Officially, season over. Red Wings cleaned out their locker today at the Joe Louis Arena for the last time. Of course, they're moving to the Little Caesars Arena as well. Hey, everybody, I want to tell you, if you watch the Masters over the weekend, I guess the only thing you can say is this. It never disappoints, the back nine on the Masters. It didn't again. The great duel between Justin Rose and also, of course, Sergio Garcia wins his first major. I hope you had something going with FanDuel. By the way, my general manager for both my baseball team and my golf team is Frank Gargano, our producer and our engineer. It's easy. Pick your contest, choose your team. Golf on FanDuel, win cash prizes, something for everybody, lots of contests to choose from starting at just $1. Submit your lineup before tee-off time on Thursday morning. More than golf, there's basketball, there's baseball, new contests every day. Having a great time with it. And my director of player personnel, Frank Gargano, I got a close eye on him that he is selecting the proper teams on FanDuel. By the way, over 2.5 billion players have won cash prizes playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Try it today. New users, get FanDuel's Combo 5-Pack. That's a value of $50. That's 5 free entries to a combination of 50-50 beginner contest. Just finish in the top half to win cash. Get your 5 free trials today. Go to FanDuel.com, click the Join Now button, and enter the promo code France, F-R-A-N-T-Z. That's FanDuel.com, promo code France. Void where are prohibited. All right, everybody, back with Rod Beard, Detroit News. He was at the Palace last night, along with Dennis Rodman, along with Isaiah Thomas, along with Ben Wallace, and a lot of other folks at, again, the final game for the Pistons. At the Palace last night, they did not win that game. They lost to Washington 105-101. They finished their season in Orlando. This is Drive Time. This is ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. And as always, driven by the low-payment king, Ralph Mahalik. Back with Rod Beard after this.
Talking local sports, it's Drive Time on Toledo's sports leader, ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to Drive Time. This is ESPN 106.5 The Tick, coming to you from the beautiful showroom right up here at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Quick note here, Toledo's ESPN 106.5 The Ticket and Buck Brothers has a chance for you to win a new driveway for your home with the Ugliest Driveway Contest. Details on how you can win coming up on Monday from Buck Brothers and Toledo sports leader, ESPN 106.5 The Ticket, a man that does not have an ugly driveway. Rod Beard is his name. Of course, Detroit News beat writer for the Detroit Pistons. Haven't talked to Rod in a while. Hello, Rod. How are you?
Mike, thanks for having me back on. Everything's going great.
No, good. Great to hear your voice, as I just said. Hey, you know, A lot of fanfare over the last week or so, of course, closing of the Joe Louis Arena and the Palace. The Red Wings, 4 championships. Well, their home base was the Joe Louis Arena. The Pistons had 3 championships. Well, they housed themselves out of the Palace. And I guess it goes without saying, at least my observation, and I would guess almost everybody's, more fanfare it seemed about the closing of the Joe and the Palace. And the only thing I could put my finger on, Rod, was, like they say in the real estate business, location, location, location. It's going to be good to see the Pistons make their way downtown.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned it before. When you travel around to the other NBA cities, you can see the difference where there's a bustling, vibrant downtown. And the Palace was the only one where you had to go pretty far away from the downtown area or from the highly populated part of the city to go to a game. And that's going to be one of the challenges he faces, how to attract a different type of clientele, a different crowd, people that maybe from the downriver area in Michigan or other parts who didn't want to go all the way up to the Palace. How do they make those people into Pistons fans now?
I think the location is going to have a lot to do with it. I got to tell you, listen, I'm a huge sports guy, as you know. I would have to list things that I follow and things that I'm enthused about, probably hockey and probably baseball and probably football. Of the big four, I would put the NBA for me number 4. And I got to tell you, part of that for me, I think, was, you know, listen, when I was traveling to the National Hockey League on a day off, Rod, and you know the travel involved and stuff like this. The night before, if we were close to an arena, I might walk from the hotel and you get to know
exactly.
Ushers and walk in and watch a couple quarters of the basketball game before you do an NHL broadcast the next night. And I kind of turned into an NBA fan because I was there. But you would have had a hard time for me, especially down here in the Monroe area, the Toledo area, not only have to drive to Detroit, but then another 35, 40 miles up to the Palace. So I think what you just noted and what you just touched on, downriver, other areas of Detroit, I think they're going to have a built-in fan base. I think it's going to be a huge success if, here's the other thing, Stan Van Gundy and this team can turn things around like they did this time last year where they had a great run. Put a good team on the floor next year in a new building, I think it's going to be a home run.
Right, and that's the one piece of momentum that they missed out on was going to the playoffs this year, and you carry some of that into next year in a new arena. Both they and the Red Wings missed out on that opportunity to do that. But winning cures it all, and if you put a good product out there, people will come. And I just think that if they don't price people out because it's a new arena, it's going to have the shiny new veneer to it and the curiosity factor, that'll get you through the first year. But after that, you've got to win games, and you've got to put a good product out on the court or on the ice, as it were, and make sure that fans are coming not just to see the spectacle, but to see good basketball and good hockey.
Well, the Pistons played 29 years in the Palace, the Red Wings 38 years in the Joe, and as I mentioned, 4 championships at the Joe in that span, 3, of course, up in the Palace, and a lot of greats last night between Isaiah and Dennis Rodman, who was, I guess, a surprise guest appearance. What, the word surprise in front of Dennis Rodman? Shocking. Ben Wallace was there and, you know, Chauncey Billups. And tell me about the scene last night for the folks that didn't watch it or haven't seen any highlights. Paint a little picture. Festive night, I'm sure.
Yeah, very festive night. And from what I'm told, TNT didn't really do it justice because this wasn't broadcast on Fox Sports Detroit. This was a TNT venture, and they didn't talk very much about it being the last game at the Palace. But if inside the arena, there was kind of a palpable sense of the electricity is the cliche term, but there was something about, hey, this is a big game. This is something that people actually care about, even though it's not for a playoff spot and it's the end of the season, doesn't mean very much in the standings. But it was very much, hey, they supported this team. They came out. They made a lot of noise. They were engaged in the game. When the Pistons were coming back in the second half, they were right there. The fans were really tuned into what was going on the court. And during the timeouts, when they acknowledged the Chaunceys, the Isaiah Thomases, the Bad Boys group and the Going to Work group, I mean, that place had a lot of noise and a lot of charm and personality to it that we really haven't seen for very many of those regular season games this year.
Again, talking to Rod Baer, Detroit News, Detroit Pistons beat writer. Moving forward for this, before I get to this, you know, it's almost hard for me to believe. It wasn't too long ago when you talked about the Palace. Everybody was, I guess the words you used, state of the art, Palace, that name a beautiful fit for the building and all its, you know, entities and all of its stature and all of its, I guess, high-end ability for sporting events and concerts and this and that. It's almost hard to believe after it's been there 29 years, number one. And number two, I don't want to say it's outdated itself. The move downtown, you know, of course, is the real key here. But if somebody told me that, you know, the Palace wasn't going to be, you know, the place to go for NBA basketball, it just seems too soon, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
No, that's absolutely the case. And having traveled around and seen all of the NBA venues around the league, the Palace is still in that top hat. It has not gone down. It's withstood the test of time. And even with the $40, $50 million in renovations and the new big screen and things that they've put in, it still holds up. It's just, it doesn't look ratty. And I think that's the difference between the reception that people get and the emotion that people have about the Palace and Joe Louis Arena. And this is the comparison I came up with, is it's almost like the Joe Louis Arena is the house you grew up in, your childhood home. And when you move out of there, you have these strong ties and these strong emotions to it. The Palace is almost like your freshman year, the dorm that you lived in for 1 or 2 years. And then when you move to the apartment, off campus, you don't have the same emotional tie to the dorm, but it has that tie to you. It's just not the same as the house you grew up in. And the Palace very much is that. It's still updated. It still looks very good, but you just don't have the strong bond that you do with the house that you grew up in. And that's the best comparison I can make between the feelings about the Joe and the feelings about the Palace, is that it's just not the same.
Again, talking to Rod Beard, Detroit News beat writer for the Pistons, who was there last night. Moving forward, and I guess the only word you can use is indeed a disappointing year for the Pistons. High hopes, we touched on that numerous times this year. Moving forward, look at the crystal ball a little bit, Rod Beard. I know it's very early, but what do you think Stan Van Gundy and his staff, number one, are thinking? Number two, how are they going to approach the draft? Moving forward into the new building, as we just mentioned, you couple that move with a winning team, that's your marketing plan right there.
Yeah, I'm stuck in between. Do they blow this whole thing up or just make a couple of tweaks and bring most of the roster back? I think they can look at Reggie Jackson and say the injury just inhibited a lot of what he was able to do, and the rest of the team, because of what he does in the pick and roll. He is the engine that drives everything that they do offensively. And if you don't have that, the defenders aren't cheating off, and they're able to guard the guys on the wings a little bit more closely, and that lowers your shooting percentage and everything else. You can make a very good case that Reggie Jackson was the reason that the Pistons didn't play so well. But you can also make a very good case of blowing this whole thing up, just trading Drummond and Jackson and just about anybody else you can, and starting completely over. Because, again, buy yourself a year in the new arena, but then after that, you've got to get out there and win some games. There's enough that you saw from Drummond where you just said, most people would say, hey, he's done. He's not giving the effort. He's not a max contract guy. I still think there's something you can pull out of him. It's just going to take a lot more work on his part and on the coaching staff's part to make sure that that's there. I'm stuck in between those two ends. I don't know which way I'm going to go.
Rod, tell me a little bit about moving past the Pistons and the Palace and their move downtown. I mean, I guess it goes without saying off the top of my head here, Golden State Warriors in the West, Cleveland Cavaliers in the East, other teams, I guess off the top of my head, Boston and San Antonio, Houston maybe. Going into the postseason here, of course, the Pistons finished their season, their last game in Orlando. Moving to the postseason of the NBA, Golden State, Cleveland, anybody else in the hunt for this thing?
I'd say San Antonio is right there. That's a team that you can never count out. But I think it is very much a Cleveland, Boston in the East, and then you can look right over to Golden State in the West and say those are the three teams that I'd be surprised if you don't get two of those three teams in the finals.
Are you going to be hanging out at Comerica Park at all? I'm guessing that's going to be after a little much-needed rest, I'm sure, as well. And Tigers win today 2-1, bullpen. I know you've done some Tiger work over the years. Bullpen's still a little shaky with K-Rod again today. Any thoughts on the Tigers before I let you go?
Well, it's very surprising that they haven't really shored up those bullpen issues that they've had in the past, and that's always been the bugaboo is, hey, if they got a shutdown closer – you wonder how many titles they could have won over the years, and you wonder why they haven't really locked that position down. They called up Joe Jimenez, and that's hopefully going to be a guy that they can work in and have a prominent role. But you wonder how many games, and again, with the hot start that they have right now, can that continue when your bullpen has so many question marks in it? And the hitting is going to come. Miggy's going to turn things around, too. I think they're going to have a really, really good season if they can continue what they've done in this early part of it. And as far as getting out to some games, it would be completely off the clock. It'll be on my own dime and trying to spend some quality time with my son, who's a baseball addict right now. He loves going to games, and we're trying to do all of the major league fields. We've got 8 of the 30 down, so we're chipping away at that to try to make sure that we get to all of them by the time he goes to college. So it's a good father-son time, and we're planning a couple of trips to make sure we get a few more out of the way.
No question about it. I love hearing that stuff. I'm coming off a day where I did some babysitting for my grandson for about 4 hours, so that's it's the best, no doubt about it. Hey, how about you and your son? What any ballparks stand out? I will not make this about me, but during my travels I saw a few. The one I haven't seen is Wrigley. I did love Fenway Park. How about you and your son? Anything that stands out?
Well, we've done all the drivable ones already, so we've done both Chicago's, Cleveland, and Pittsburgh. He really likes Pittsburgh, and I'm trying to sell him on going out west this summer so we can knock out San Francisco, San Diego, and maybe Seattle on one big West Coast road trip. That's the plan. But I've heard so many good things about San Diego that that's one of the better parks in the league. I've been to San Francisco without him in 2012 at the World Series, and I think that's just a beautiful, beautiful park with scenery and everything else. But, again, that's the plan. We're going to try to knock them all down and get 2 or 3 of them out of the way every summer. But we're lining them up for this year, figure out which ones we want to do.
No, that's great stuff, Rod. I was at San Francisco myself. My wife and I were out there, and we were staying down near Fisherman's Wharf, and I asked the guests how far down to the ballpark, and my wife was off with a college friend, so I was going to the ball game that night. The guy goes, well, it's a short walk, and listen, I can use a few walks, but I remember it being, it was quite a haul down there, but I ended up getting a ticket behind home plate about 50 rows up and had an aisle seat and sat there and watched that game that night. Looking into the San Francisco Bay there, could catch a glimpse of the Golden Gate Bridge. I love that ballpark. It was a wonderful, wonderful evening. I hope you and your son can make it out there.
Yeah, that's the plan for now. And the World Series, the same thing. They did the flyover with the stealth bombers for the World Series that year. And one of the greatest memories of being in a stadium or an arena, just the ambiance and everything around that, the atmosphere there was just absolutely awesome. And we did get to the season opener, the Tiger season opener in Chicago. We waited out that rain delay on last Monday, but did catch the game on Tuesday. So we're doing it. We're out here doing it.
Good stuff, Rod. Thanks for coming on. I'll talk to you down the road. Maybe draft time. Appreciate it. And as always, great hearing your voice.
Anytime, Mike. You know you're an A-lister.
Very good. You're an A-lister as well. Rod Baird joins us, Detroit News. How about that for a little tour with his son this year, heading out west, taking in a couple of ball games with his son before he goes off to college. This is Drive Time, everybody. TAS Electronics update coming. TAS Electronics, 4-star window tint, professionally installed. Your vehicle, $149. TAS Sports, TAS Weather. Little traffic brought to you by Super Fitness Toledo right around the corner as well. Back after this with Red Berenson, retiring coach of the Michigan Wolverines hockey team.
Or for annoying traffic jams, it's the Drive Time Show on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's your host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Drive Time, coming to you from the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Rod Beard joined us from the Detroit News a couple of moments ago, talked about the Palace last night, last game for the Pistons until they moved downtown, Little Caesars Arena, and also talked about, well, the Pistons moving forward. Joining us now is the retiring head coach of the University of Michigan hockey team, Red Berenson. Hello, Coach, how are you?
I'm good, Mike, how are you?
Very good. Thank you very much for taking the time, and congratulations, I guess, first things first, on a wonderful 33-year run, University of Michigan hockey, that included a couple of titles, one in 96 and one in 98, 11 Frozen Fours and 22 straight trips, which is a record, to the NCAA tournament. Great run, sir.
Well, thank you. You know, I was lucky to come to Michigan as a student years ago, and when I got the chance to come back here and coach, I wanted to help other players kind of live their dream. And some of them would have a chance to maybe go on and play in the NHL, like I was lucky enough to. But for the most part, they all got a meaningful degree. They've had something to fall back on. And I've ended up with a lot of friends, so a big Michigan hockey family. It's been more rewarding. I had no idea I'd be here this long. It just turned out that way, and it's been a great, it's been really a great thing for my family and myself.
Red, you just mentioned something here I wanted to touch on, and you mentioned the National Hockey League. And listen, I'm old enough to remember the Gary Unger trade. How's that? In Olympia Stadium, where I used to take my Chevy, I shouldn't say it in a Jeep dealership, but my Chevy Impala up to watch the Red Wings practice as a kid. But listen, you had a pretty good run as an NHL player, 17 seasons as well. And a lot of people, I think, it went by the wayside. You were a coach of the year in the National Hockey League with the St. Louis Blues. You played with Gordie Howe. You played with the late, great, a guy that could have been the Prime Minister of Canada, Jean Beliveau and Glenn Hall. And, you know, you coached under Scotty Bowman. So 33 years at Michigan, I guess you got to be a little bit older to remember what a great career you had as a player as well.
Well, I guess you do. Like, I'm 77 now, so it's, and I feel really good, but I think it was the right time to retire and get out of the way and let a younger guy take over the Michigan hockey program. I'll still be here. The athletic director wants me to stick around and be available for his special projects. So I still feel wanted, and yet, I'm, like you say, I'm going to have some free time. You mentioned Glenn Hall. Glenn and I got together last summer in St. Louis and had kind of a reunion, and we got a lot of the current Blues out there and the former Blues. It was a great time. So I still stay in touch with a lot of those guys, and I feel lucky enough to be healthy enough to do it.
You know what, Red, and I got to tell you something. The Blues became part of the fabric of the National Hockey League after expansion for one reason, and again, not making this about myself, but I was fortunate enough to do the Devils radio for a number of years because of that station, and it was KMOX out of St. Louis and the late, great Dan Kelly listening to the Blues games at night, and the Blues all of a sudden, I think, with the great runs you had against the Montreal Canadiens and those great teams, and Glenn Hall became part of the fabric, and you were right in the middle of that as well. Hey, I wanted to ask you, 1980, go ahead.
It was a great time. It really was for all the players in St. Louis. The city adopted the team, it seemed. Dan Kelly was as good as it gets as a play-by-play announcer, and he and I became lifelong friends until he passed away early at the age of 52. But his son, John, now does the games in St. Louis, and his son, Dan, does hockey games for the Big Ten Network.
Nope, know them both very, very well. Red Berenson joins us here on ESPN's Drive Time. We are part of the Michigan cluster, of course. We broadcast a lot of the Michigan football and basketball games as well. And the dealership here, the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore, has been supplying vehicles to Michigan coaches for many, many years. Hey, if you could, Red, we won't keep you long, but 1984, your first year behind the Michigan Wolverine bench area, to this year, 2017, college hockey's come a long way. Tell me a little bit about that from that era, 84, to 2017.
Well, that's a good question, Mike. I remember when I first came to college, for example, as a player, there were no college players in the NHL. And I was the first to crack that barrier, and along with Red Hay from Colorado College. And so that was a big thing. And when I came back here in 84, there were a handful of college players. Obviously, Ken Dryden and Tony Esposito, and there were a few players like that. But since 84, the credibility of college hockey at the NHL level has skyrocketed. And now over a third of all the players in the NHL are college hockey players. And not all Americans. A lot of them are Canadians, but more of them are Americans. There's more and more U.S. players. I mean, you saw the number one draft pick this year, Austin Matthews, from Phoenix, Arizona, and leading the Toronto Maple Leafs and scored 40 goals this year. And he didn't get to college. He was probably too good to even go to college. But there's more and more good U.S. players and more college players playing in the NHL. And I guess that gives you a chance to step back and say, boy, it's really improved. The facilities, the coaching, the credibility, the exposure, it's terrific.
Well, for folks that have never seen a game at Yost, of course, they're missing something as well. Red, joining me on the air now is the owner of this dealership. He's been involved with the University of Michigan for a long time. Ralph Mahalik's his name. And I don't want to say a dirty word to you here, but two of his sons played in the OHL, which you had to recruit against those guys for years. And he has a nephew on his way to Miami of Ohio to play hockey. So you're talking to a dealership and a showroom right here that almost on a nightly basis, the conversation is hockey. Say hi to Ralph Mahalik. Loves the game and a big supporter of Michigan.
Well, Ralph, good for you. You're a hockey parent. You've paid your dues, and you've got your sons playing hockey. The only reminder I would give you is make sure they get an education, because you don't know. You know, we all think we're going to play in the NHL, but there's only about 5% of all the players ever make a living in the NHL. So stand by that education after their hockey.
Great advice, Coach. And, Coach, I want to ask you a question. Sunday, I saw you down on the ice with all the Red Wing alumni. It sure looked like you guys were having a great time. Tell us about Sunday, the final day at Joe Louis Arena.
You know, I could talk all night about it, Ralph, but I would just tell you it was magical. The spirit of the Red Wing fans, even though they've had a losing season and a lot of conversation about not making the playoffs, fans were terrific. And I went down that red carpet walk, like a lot of the players did, with Scotty Bowman and Ted Lindsay. And the fans, there were thousands of them outside, just cheering and getting autographs. And then Joe Louis inside was jam-packed. I've never seen it more full for any game than it was for that last game, a meaningless game. And then at the end, when they had the ceremony, which lasted the better part of an hour, nobody left their seats. Those fans stayed and they cheered. They just didn't want to leave. And, you know, with Yzerman and Lidstrom and Scotty Bowman and all the great players and coaches from the past, it was a magical night, and they couldn't have done a better job, but it was the fans and their spirit that really carried it.
No doubt about it. Mike Miller along with Red Berenson and Ralph Mahalik. This is Drive Time in ESPN 106.5, The Ticket. Red, we're going to let you go. Did I miss anything you'd want to touch on? And, again, congratulations on a wonderful, wonderful career. And, again, before we let you go, again, did I miss anything you'd like to pass on to your fans in this neck of the woods, I'll put it that way, Southeast Michigan?
Well, I would just remind everybody that Michigan is such a special place, and not just the University of Michigan, but the state of Michigan. And, you know, you guys are down in Monroe. I come down there camping all the time on Lake Erie on that state park, not far from where you guys are sitting, and we just love it here. And so I'm glad I'm living in Michigan. I'm fortunate to have played at Michigan and then coached at Michigan. Our fans have been terrific. It's a great place for hockey, and it's a great place to live. So thank you guys for calling and including me in your drive show.
Well, Coach, thank you again. It's awesome. Great to have you on our show today, and congratulations on an outstanding career over, what, five or six decades? Six decades in hockey, at least. So congratulations. Enjoy your retirement, Coach. You deserve it.
Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Red, thanks a lot. All the best. That's Red Berenson retiring. Kind of came out of nowhere, I thought, Ralph. I know I texted you the other day, and people have been wondering for two or three years when he was going to step down. And listen, this probably does not run part and parcel with this, but it wasn't a good year this year for the University of Michigan. But I will tell you, if you got Red Berenson behind closed doors here, and he's got a big staff, believe me, but you talk to any college, getting kids and recruiting and the time away from the ice. I mean, I've had people tell me Red at 77, the players are still amazed when he's running practice, his wheels and his cardiovascular conditioning, how great a shape he's in. But the time on the phone, picking it up, convincing people why they should not go to the OHL, why they should go to Michigan. I think that's, well, let's face it, he did it for 33 years. What a great run. Unbelievable. I was looking today, though, I think one of the great tools that I spend more time on, because it's like almost a chain in emails, HockeyDB. And you see, well, geez, Red Berenson played his junior hockey in Hull, Ottawa. You hit that little link, and all of a sudden you see that team, and it's such a small world. A guy that signed my check for 13 years, Bill Inglis, was on that team, another former Montreal Canadian farmhand, and it's a hockey community. This has always been a hockey community right in this showroom here. A lot of cars have been sold here to hockey people, don't believe me. But it was great having him on today, and you've been a big supporter of, you know, the Michigan program. And you know what? NHL Coach of the Year at one time. Out the door he goes. I mean, that shows you a little bit about the coaching profession. Maybe a good move to go to college where you last 33 years.
Absolutely. That's what I was shocked. Remember when Vlaschel left Western Michigan University? I said, Jeff, you could stay here for decades, be a king. Like, you know. But, of course, Vlaschel's worked out pretty good for him. And, of course, Vlaschel was just named coach of the U.S. men's
World championship team. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So good for him.
Which is always a little bit tough, because you know what that says? You're not in the playoffs.
You're not in the playoffs.
And the players that go, too, congratulations. You're on the United States World Cup championship team, or Canada. Sidebar is, your team's not in. Speaking of coaches, two coaching changes today. The big shakeup in Los Angeles today.
Yeah.
Bowling Green guy Rob Blake now taking over for Dean Lombardi. You don't think this is a tough business? They win two Stanley Cups, the L.A. Kings. Sutter's the coach. These guys are out the door. Luke Robitaille's taking over along with Rob Blake, again, out of Bowling Green. And Vancouver, which you could kind of see coming, they make a move as well. That's why it's good to go to Michigan and hang around for 33 years.
Right. Have all kinds of free chicken dinners. And,
right.
You know, and the other thing, when you know, Matt, my son Matt's had a lot of goalie coaches that were former Michigan goalie coaches, right? It's kind of a breeding ground for, you know, up-and-coming coaches, right? And talking to those guys, I said, when's Red ever going to retire? And this is 5 to 10. They said, dude, you should see this guy get on the bike. He kills it on the bike. Like I say, his cardiovascular, and he's in tremendous condition, tremendous physical condition. And obviously that's why he can still coach at this level at age 77 and do it successfully.
So. I'm glad there's one redhead that's in great cardiovascular shape around here. I know one that's not, by the way. Hey, congratulations on your nephew, Alex Wells, of course, going to Miami, played in the United States hockey. I have to laugh about the genetics in this Mahalik and this hockey little hotbed in this showroom where I'm fortunate enough to do a show every night. But again, both your boys playing in the best amateur league in the world in my eyes, and now your nephew going on from a great junior league to college hockey.
Yeah, we're very excited for Alec and my brother JP and my sister-in-law Joni and my nephew Nick, their whole family. Those kids have worked hard. Nick and Alec have worked very, very hard in their careers. They're great kids, great students. Just wonderful people, give back to the community, just awesome. And of course, Nick's a linebacker over at Butler University, and we're very proud and excited that Alec and his Youngstown Phantoms team just won two games over the USA U-17 team this weekend, so they could qualify for the playoffs. And then Alec got the phone call Monday from Miami, Ohio, to say, come on down, we're ready to have you this fall. Because I was thinking, based on the way I saw him perform this year, that he'd get the call for this year. But you know, there's always a possibility they could say, hey, wait till next year. But they said, we're ready for you right now. So that's great. So Miami of Ohio, as we all know, is a fantastic hockey program. Had some great duels with Red Berenson over the years. Great duels when they were both in the CCHA together. So we're very proud and excited for Alec Mahalik, and we wish him luck in the playoffs with the Youngstown Phantoms in the USHL playoffs this year, and wish him all the best of luck as a Miami of Ohio defenseman next year.
I didn't want to, interrupt the great college hockey coach, Red Berenson, when he was talking about your kids paying attention to their academics. I would like to email Red their report cards. They have more A's in one half a semester than I had in 25 years. So believe me, they're doing very well in that department. No question about that.
Yeah, Maddie's had a few Academic Player of the Year awards. So.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, good stuff. Thanks for coming on.
I didn't want to debate Fred.
No.
Don't debate Red. No,
we're not going to debate him on today. But, yeah, the Mahalik kids have always done pretty well academically, no doubt about that. Hey, quick reminder, thanks for coming on, Ralph. I know you love the University of Michigan. That's about the only thing we butt heads. is that Saturday in November when I'm pulling for the Buckeyes.
What a great guy to have interview with the day after he retired.
No, good stuff.
That's a big deal.
And Ralph did the legwork on that, and I got the text here this afternoon that he was going to join us. Great stuff. Red Berenson, not only a great coach, but certainly you heard him, just as good a man, and we were fortunate to have him. I'll put it this way again, in this area, in this neck of the woods. Hey, everybody, if you watch the Masters, I mean, again, it doesn't disappoint, the back nine at Augusta National. By the way, I don't know if anybody was watching the Golf Channel. I DVR'd it the last three nights. It's a documentary on Jack Nicklaus. But I got to tell you, again, the Masters, it doesn't disappoint. Sergio Garcia, I hope you had him on your FanDuel team along with the other players to stay underneath the salary cap. But it's something for everybody. Lots of contests. Choose from starting at $1. That is FanDuel. Submit your lineup before Thursday's tee-off, and you're right in. More than golf. How about basketball, baseball? New contest every day. Play as often as you want. Play in tournaments. Play against your friends. I've had a great time. My general manager is Frank Gargano. We go up and down our lineups on a daily basis. Over 2.5 million players have won cash prizes playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Now, how about this? New users get FanDuel's Combo 5-Pack valued up to $50. That's five free entries to a combination of 50-50 beginner contest. Just finish in the top half and you win cash. Get your five free entries. Go to FanDuel.com. Click the Join Now button. Enter the promo code France. That's like Bob, 3 to 5 every day preceding drive time, FRANTZ. That's FanDuel.com. Promo code France. Void where are prohibited. All right. This is Drive Time. My name is Mike Miller. Back to close it out after this timeout.
Dial. It's Drive Time on ESPN 106.5 The Ticket. Here's the host of Drive Time, Mike Miller.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Glad to have you on board right here at the Monroe Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Superstore. Both our guests tonight, Rod Beard talking about the Palace and retiring University of Michigan hockey coach Red Berenson joined us on the Vito's Pizza phone line. Vito's Pizza. Ingredients you can trust. Order by phone at any of the 20 Northwest Ohio or Southeast Michigan locations. Again, that's by phone or visit Vito's.com. How about this special this week? Giant five topper or specialty pizza, just $14. Visit Vito's.com, a partner of Drive Time. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody, from Sylvania Tamashanner. 5 o'clock Drive Time, 6 o'clock Face Off the Hockey Show. Good night, everybody, from Monroe. This show is always driven by the low payment king, Ralph Mahalik.